Ephesians chapter 1, and we are looking at not the first couple verses. We looked at the first couple verses over the last 2 weeks, but we're looking at verses 5 to 6 today. And we're going to be looking in five verses in total in this little series within this series. You see, there is this important part of this message, and it's about, once again, identity. This is what Paul's communicating to us in his letter to the Ephesians, is that we are in Christ. That is good news. And as people who are in Christ, we need to realize that we are adopted by the Father, we are redeemed by the Son, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And as we go through the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at those important messages. Today, we're looking just at verses 5 and 6, and we're going to focus in on what it means to be adopted by the Father. Now, we oftentimes will right away in our minds think about Western adoption. We have to realize that there is some types of things that we can pull from Western adoption that would be beautiful little illustrations for being adopted into the family of God. But it's important to remember that Paul, he wasn't a Westerner. He was from the East, that he had a different perception regarding adoption. In fact, he borrowed it from the Greco-Roman world, and we're going to look at what it means later in this message. But you might look at this and say, well, why do we even need adoption at all? Why do we need to be adopted into the family of God? Are we not all humanity, are we not all children of God? And that's a really good question. And there is a sense in which all people are children of God. There is a sense in which God created all people. And even though now we have fallen humanity, we see around us beauty. Like I sometimes listen to music and I see the beauty of God's ability in that person's ability to create music, even though they are fallen creation. Sometimes I see art that was created by somebody who's far from God, but they have a beautiful skill to create beauty, and it reflects God and his creativeness. But here's the problem. All of humanity, we have all been tainted by sin. And so a lot of times when I think of this tainting of sin, I think of the time where I had all my precious possessions, or what you always see me walking around with my backpack wherever I go. I got my Swiss Army backpack and it has all of my stuff in it. You know, all the things that mean a lot to me in this world. It's got my Bible and my notebooks and my devices and my Rubik's Cube, all my things, all my weird little things I like and the things I love. And one day I went somewhere and on a trip, and what happened is I had a blue pen in there and it blew up. It was a hot day and the pen just exploded. I didn't notice that it had exploded, and I went through my entire day jostling the backpack around, and at the end of the day I opened it up and everything was tainted blue. Everything was stained, everything was ruined, my Bible was ruined, all of the devices in there were blue, everything was blue, and they were destroyed. I could not get the blue out of them. And when I think of that backpack, and I think of how that exploding pen, it tainted all of my possessions, I think of what happened in the garden. I think that the exploding pen in regard to humanity happened when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and his perfect command and his instruction to them in the garden. And when they did that, when they said that they chose not to trust the living God, when they took the deception of the enemy, when they trusted his words, the twisting of God's truth, it was an exploding pen that tainted all of humanity. And we see that stain wherever we look. And so why do we need to be adopted? Because we need to be bought back into the family of God. And so we're going to look at that truth today. And what Paul does is he uses this word. Paul was brilliant for this. He invented a lot of words that were brought over from his language, the Koine Greek, and he would bring them into biblical language so that we would be able to have terms that would define these truths. And so he's looking for a word that would rightly bring in this understanding of being brought into the family of God. And what he brought in was the word that represented, it was huios, which is son, and it was theisia, which is to place. And literally it means to place a son. And it was a placing of an adult child into your home. That's what adoption was. It was actually quite unheard of or very rare to adopt a baby. They just thought, why would you do that? They adopted adults. And there was various reasons that they did this, for inheritance, for future care, because they very, very much loved a person. They would bring them into their home. They would do it for release of debt. There was many different reasons. And we're going to look at some of those reasons today. Let's look at the scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And so today, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the motivation behind the adoption. We're going to look at the means of adoption, and we are going to look at the mission of the adoption. And so first of all, let's look at the motivation. And the motivation, why would God adopt us into his family? And the motivation is this. The two main motivations are love and joy. Love and joy. We see that in this passage. This is what we find. It says, in love, he predestined us. Now, remember last week I told you that those two words, in love, they could be put on anything prior to it. Well, some scholars also believe it could be put on this part too, that having predestined us, the Revised Standard Version says, in love, having predestined us to adoption. That he did this in love. God's primary motive for adopting us is his deep and his abiding love for us. I love what Thomas Watson says about this. Thomas Watson says adoption is a greater mercy than Adam had in paradise. Have you ever had that thought that, man, Adam, you really messed things up for us? You ever think that? Or you think, wouldn't it be amazing to be in the garden? Wouldn't it be amazing to have that relationship untainted by sin in the garden, enjoying God's creation without having creation, you know, groaning with birth pains, you know, all the problems of creation, all the disease, all the thorns? It's like, thanks a lot, Adam. Mosquitoes and poison ivy and thorns. Thanks a lot. You ever think that? Sitting around the campfire at night, you're trying to enjoy it and you're just swatting. Thanks a lot, Adam. But here's the thing. Thomas Watson says, adoption is a greater mercy than Adam had in paradise. God made us his children by adoption, nearer to himself than the angels. The angels are the friends of Christ. Believers are his members. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Since God has a son of his own, right? God has Jesus as his son. What a son he is. And you just think about that. Yet he adopted us as his sons and daughters. God already had the best son in the universe. And yet he didn't need a son, but he chose us to be his sons and his daughters. What an amazing savior we have. You know, look at this, and we sometimes kind of think that God chooses people based on their behavior. I've heard people say this before, where they talk about their neighbor or their friend, and they're like, you know, they're a really good person. I mean, you know, they would make a great Christian. I've heard people say those words, and I look at them like, seriously, you can't say those words. You can't say those words, because God does not choose people based on the way they conduct themselves. God never chose you because you were good. This truth is seen in Deuteronomy 7:7, where God says, the Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were really numerous, because you were super special, because you were like the best people out there. God didn't say to Israel, wow, you guys were really something, so I'm going to choose you. In fact, God says, you guys actually were the more stubborn of the lot. You were the smallest. Why did God choose them then? He chose them because in his plan, in his pleasure, God chose to love them. Isn't that a beautiful thing when you think about it? Because if God chose me and God brought me into his family by adoption, by my character, if he did that, I would be in trouble. You know, I would always be kind of feeling like, oh man, when God really sees the true me, then I'm gonna get kicked out of this family. If he really knew me, but God didn't choose you that way. He chose you in love. Our identity is rooted in love. And so the encouraging thing is some of you have faced incredible rejection in your life, terrible pain. Some of you have had very harsh upbringings, bad relationships. And because of that rejection, sometimes that can taint and you can bring that into your relationship with God. And I just want to tell you today that you are accepted in the Beloved, that God chose you and that he brought you in. And his motivation was that God wanted to show his love to you. What an amazing truth to understand today. Not only that, but the other motive that we see here is joy. He says, according to the pleasure, the good pleasure of his will. Can you just imagine this? Have you ever watched those videos where people announce an adoption? You know, we get the privilege of experiencing that in our own family. We've seen it in our church. We've seen that announcement and the joy of bringing somebody into a family. What a privilege. And God experiences this incredible joy as he brings people into his family. There is rejoicing in heaven when one person repents and comes to God. Great rejoicing. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, our adoption isn't some reluctant pity. Now, we look at it, we're like, okay, so on the one hand, God isn't adopting you into his family because you're really something and you're extra special. But on the other hand, also, he's not adopting you into his family because he really pities you and he thinks, oh, you poor pathetic thing. You know, I have this tendency because I was a kid in school, I was terrible at sports. I was tall, that's all I had going for me, but I was terrible at sports, so I often got picked last. So if you make me as your team captain, I'm gonna pick all the losers, I'm sorry. That's just how I work. I'll look around, I'll pick all the kids who get picked absolutely last on the team, and I'll pick them. So don't make me the team captain unless you want the team of all the kids who can't play sports very well, because that's just how I think. And you think, well, that's a noble thing, but yet that is still not how God picks his children. He does so not because he's like, oh, you poor pathetic thing, I'm going to make you a project. No, he does it with this attitude of rejoicing and love, and he chooses to show his love towards you, and he does so in such a way that he shows great joy. It's not a pitiful, reluctant, I guess I'll work with these people. I guess I'll bring this person in to the family. No, he does so with great joy. You know, let's be honest. When it comes to our family, some of us were surprises. Right? Not all of you were planned. I mean, Jason always wanted another little brother, but he just never thought it would happen for him. And then along comes Dylan. It's like, what on earth, Mom, Dad, what you thinking? You know? There goes all the retirement plans, you know? They're finally traveling now because Dylan's out of the house. Not all of you were planned. Some of you were surprises. But here's the thing. When God adopts, he intentionally shows his grace to you. He intentionally and joyfully and lovingly brings you into this family. Just think about that for a moment. Actually, in fact, I had one girl of a family in this church who shared with me. She says, you know, when I was little, my siblings, sometimes I'd be jealous. I would say to my parents, you know, really, you didn't choose me. I just happened. But you chose those two. And I love that. I love that illustration. I love that she felt that understanding of Mom and Dad, they chose them. God chose to bring you into this family. What an amazing gift. And it should give us this real sense of identity that God chose to set his love upon you. He did so joyfully, and he did so because he is a God of love. So that is the motivation behind adoption, that the Father adopts. What is the means? The means are Jesus and grace. This is the means of adoption. This is how God adopts you. First of all, it is through Jesus Christ. We see in Ephesians 1:5 that he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator that makes adoption possible. He is the one that stands in between a holy and a righteous God and a sinful and tainted people. And Jesus stands in the gap and he pays the price. He gives his life to pay for our sins and making us acceptable in the beloved, bringing us into the presence of God. Now, in Roman culture, adoption was accompanied by payment. It sounds kind of, you know, kind of an odd thing. And the payment wasn't necessarily that they were paying for the person that they were bringing into adoption. I mean, maybe they paid off debts or something along those lines, but it was a symbolic thing. And they would take a scale and they would take a piece of bronze and they would strike the scale. And it was a symbolic thing saying that that payment has been made, that this child or this person is now transferred from this family into this family, or from having no family into the family that they are being adopted into. And that child would be placed as a son. Now, in the Roman Empire, it was called placing a son because they didn't adopt daughters. I mean, there was no record of that. But here's the thing about the family of God. God adopts sons and daughters. That God includes all people in his family. As we put our faith in him, that God takes us, as the Bible calls us, strangers and outsiders, and brings us into the family of God. And now we are sons and daughters of the living God. What an amazing God that we have. Any debts you had? Any sin debts? Any shame? Any guilt? Any things that were attached to the old life? Can you imagine somebody in the Roman Greco world that was bound by debt? They were held bondage. Let's say they were in a terrible situation in which every day was a living hell for them. Every day was brutal and difficult, and every day they were living in servitude to pay off a debt that they would never pay off in their lifetime. And then somebody comes along and decides to show love to them and brings them into their family, and they pay the debt and they bring them in. And the moment they bring them in, the debts are broken. The bondage is done. The servitude is broken, and they are brought into the liberty of a family and a freedom in a family in which they receive a new name. And they are placed not as some sort of like, you know, oh yeah, you know, dad kind of brought that one in, but rather as a full son with full inheritance rights. What an amazing picture this is. And this is what God has done for us. And it was made possible through the person of Jesus Christ. And that person who is adopted, that has been placed, that person is now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is passed away. All things have become new. This is done through Jesus, and it is done by grace. I always liked that picture of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You ever hear that before? It's a good way to remember, what is grace? It is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I know it doesn't fully encompass what grace means, but that is the primary meaning of grace, that God chose to show to us his creation that rebelled against him. He chose to show to us these riches that are found in Christ Jesus when we did not deserve it. While we were still lost in sin, Jesus died for us. What an amazing God. It's not earned. You know, imagine if you're in a bank, you're dealing with your debt, you're in massive debt, you're in over your head, and somebody comes up to you, they hear you talking to the bank manager, they hear your plight, and they come up to you and they say, how much is your debt? And you tell them it's, you know, hundreds of thousands. And they say, I'll cover that for you. And they write out a check for $1 million. How many of you are like, hallelujah, right? $1 million, and they hand you the check. And you're like, and the bank manager's shocked, like, okay, I guess you're good then. And so you look around for a pen, you don't have a pen, and the person just gave you a $1 million check, and they have a pen there, and you're like, thank you so much. You know, you're gonna be free. You just have to have this check endorsed. You're like, can I just borrow your pen? And they look at you like, just gave you $1 million. I'm not going to let you borrow my pen. How many of you would look at that and say, that's ridiculous? A person who's capable of giving $1 million is going to like, sure, keep the pen too. You know, I mean, why wouldn't he? He just set you free and he gave you $1 million. The pen is nothing to him. This is a picture of what the Bible tells us in Romans. This shows us God's grace. God, who did not spare, this is Romans 8:32. You're going to memorize this, a lot of you. God, who did not spare his own son. He wrote the $1 million check already. He did not spare Jesus, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, you can every day look to God. If you need help in a situation, you never have to go to, God's not going to look at you and say, oh, here he is again, asking for help. If it wasn't enough that I gave my only begotten son, now he's asking for this. No, God wants you to come to him every day as a son or a daughter. He's not holding it over you, always saying, oh, you know, I gave him Jesus and now he needs more help. Every day, God wants to give you what is necessary in order for you to live in his grace, to live in his power. He lavishes his grace upon you. And so that's the means of grace. So the motive behind our adoption is love and joy. The means of grace, it's through Jesus, or the means of our adoption is through Jesus, and it is by grace. And finally, the mission of our adoption. What is the mission of our adoption? It is the glory of God, and it is access to his presence. He says, to the glory of the praise of his grace, or to the praise of his glorious grace. You see, all of this, all of what God has done, is for the praise of his grace. God wants to receive praise and he wants to receive glory because he is worthy. This is what God wants of us, that we would turn around and we would lift him up because he is worthy of all glory and honor and praise, and forever to have our hearts set on him. And I tell you, you need to live this life in that way of every day praising him, because he doesn't promise that this life is going to be easy. If you haven't figured that one out yet, you will soon. Every day, there are going to be massive challenges that you're going to face. Some days you go through and it's just kind of like, you know, wow, that was a great day. And it just seems like very little obstacles. But you can be guaranteed that down the road, you're going to face trials and difficulties. And some of them, you look at them and you're just like, God, you've adopted me as a child. Why are you allowing me to experience these things? And I believe that God allows us to go through difficult situations to draw us closer to him and to allow his grace to be shown. We see this throughout the Bible. Yeah, I remember going to Roatan years ago, and it was a family vacation. We had saved up for this, and this was like a big deal to us. We've never done a family vacation like that or since, traveling to another country with all of our kids, and it was going to be a lot of money. And so I remember looking at the weather thinking, oh, I hope and pray God that the weather's going to be good for this. And I looked and it wasn't good. 80 to 90% chance of rain every single day. And so every day I was checking the weather 2 weeks leading up to it. And then on the plane, I checked it as I got off the plane again. I was so depressed. I'm like, it's going to rain the entire time we're there? Like, this is really sad for my family. And I remember talking to somebody on the plane just as we are getting off at the airport. And they looked at me and they're like, are you a moron? It's a rainforest. It's going to rain every day. That means nothing. If you look at the forecast for Roatan all year long, every single day, it's 80 to 90% chance of rain. Have you ever done that before? Gone to another country thinking that the weather is going to be terrible because it's 80 or 90% chance of rain and it's a rainforest? And so they pointed that out to me. And sure enough, it rained every day. It rained, but it was sunshine, beautiful weather. And then it rained for a little bit and then sunshine again. That's what it's like in the rainforest. Well, God, he gives it to us up front. He says, in this world, you are going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have troubles. That is life. That is how we are going to, this is what we're going to experience while we're here on this earth. But I tell you, he gives you grace. He gives you grace, and the mission of our adoption is to bring glory to his name. And God does this so often. He does this by allowing us to go through difficult times and in the middle of it, showing his abundant grace. I tell you, some of the hardest things that I faced in my life, I look back and I recognize that God showed himself powerful in those times. God showed himself faithful for me. And I trusted him and I looked to him. And as I look out in our church, I remember times where I've gotten from some of you some of the worst phone calls I've ever received. Just difficult things that you've faced. And yet you've come back to me years later and say, I didn't see it then, but I tell you, I see it now. God worked something, a miracle in my life on that day. God transformed my heart. God worked in me to his glory. And so this is the mission of our adoption, that God would glorify his name in this world in which there's troubles and difficulties, that we would trust him in the middle of it. And therefore, what is our response? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all things to his glory. But the other thing he does for us is he gives us access to the Father. Listen to this. He gives us access to the Father. He says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't it beautiful to be in a place where you have acceptance? Just to know that you're welcome in that place. Yeah, I love this picture of acceptance when it comes to the family. You know, there's only one person in this world, one person who I say dad to, and it's my dad. I can always come up to him and say, hey, dad, and I don't call anybody else dad. Why? Because only dad is going to have that title in my life. And the beautiful thing too is that when I go to my dad's house, if you want to go to my dad's house, you might have to ask and you might have to say, you know, hey, you know, can I come over? And my dad will say, sure. Or maybe you're really close to him and you just pop by, but you still have to knock. But guess what? I just walk in there. How many of you just walk in your parents' place? I'm sorry if you have to knock at your parents' place. It's just kind of awkward. You know, you got to work on that relationship. I don't have to knock at my parents' house. Why? Because I have access. This is how it is. You know, it's beautiful. I can come into the presence of my father. I open the door and I say, hey, dad. And when I come to my father in prayer, I open the door by saying, Heavenly Father, you are awesome. You are wonderful. Thank you for the access. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for me to come in this door. I recognize that it cost you everything. You brought me into your presence. You paid the price. And now I can just come anytime I want and talk to you. You know, the Romans 8:15, another one that you'll probably memorize is, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, here the word in, again is, adoption, the placement of sons. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out to God, Abba, Father, Dad, Daddy, I'm here. Open access to come into the presence of God. You know, I got a lot of friends in the Philippines. And when I go there, I have a real bond with all the kids at the compound, the mission compound. They come by, we play basketball together, and we talk, and they teach me their language. And by the end of the trip, they're coming up to me, and they're always saying to me, you know, hey, can I call you daddy? And I'm like, no, let's, you know, just call me Tito, call me uncle. You know, that's because I only have one father. I have a father in heaven, but I have my dad. And I don't want to dishonor that relationship of my dad. And so I say, and plus, I don't want to go to the Philippines on a mission trip. You know, all these kids running up calling me daddy and all our mission workers saying, hey, what really goes on here in the Philippines? Right? No, Tito is okay. Call me uncle. Don't call me daddy. I have one father here on earth, but I tell you, I have a heavenly father. And I'm so grateful for a dad here on earth that set a good example of what it means to call my heavenly father, daddy. But I want to encourage you, maybe if you didn't have that relationship with your Father on earth, that you would call out to your Father in heaven and say, God, teach me what it means to have a dad. Teach me what it means to truly have a dad who loves. Show me how to be that father to my children. Show me how to give that open access in my life that they can come to me for help. That my children have been brought into the family by joy, that it's by grace, that it is through Jesus Christ. Show me how to have that meaningful relationship. Because I want to let the world know that I have a Father in heaven who loves me so much, who opens up his family to me, and that wants to every day allow me to come into his presence and to become more like my big brother, Jesus Christ. You see, just because God brings you in the way you are, he doesn't leave you that way. He has grace, but he also wants you every day to become more and more like Jesus Christ, till we reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Nothing short. God wants you to become like Jesus, and he has brought you into his family to show that amazing grace. Let's stand up together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life in you. I thank you for including us in this family and for blessing us with the privilege of being part of a family in which we are brothers and sisters, a family where Jesus Christ, our big brother, has led the way, who has made the way for us to have relationship with you. And I ask that as a church that we would not shy away from sharing this amazing truth, that all are welcome. And that God, you will call them as we preach your word, as we share the truth that Jesus, you want us to be free, that you want us to be welcomed into your family. And Lord, work through your church today. Allow us to truly understand the meaning of being part of this incredible family, the freedom that we have, the hope that we have, the life. Father, we lift up those before you that need to experience your power. Ken Klein, Lord, I thank you so much that as he was baptized, that he understands that God, he is your child. That on one hand, he's ready to be with you, Jesus. On the other hand, he's looking to you and saying, God, I'm asking for a miracle here. So we ask that, Lord, that you would do something great in his life, that he, as he's looking to you, that you would provide for him, and Father, that he would continue to look to you. Pray for Cheryl, that you would give her your strength day by day. Father, I ask that you would work an amazing work in both of their lives. Lord, I also ask that as we continue to serve you and look to you, that as a church, we would experience your amazing grace every day. We thank you for Zach and Hope, who joined their lives together in marriage yesterday as they were gathered here with their families. I pray your blessings on their marriage relationship, and I ask that they would continue to each day grow in faith as they follow you together as a couple. And Father, we thank you that you can do all things. We commit all the things we're believing for in your hands, we commit the camp to your hands. And Lord, we thank you so much for opening up that opportunity and allowing us to see that, Father, that there's so many areas where you can work your power and your grace. We look to you with the eyes of faith. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.